Extend Christian greetings to each one that has gathered together this evening for this worship service. I trust that you have been in the spirit of worship thus far. And we serve a never-changing God, and are you thankful for that? If he was a changing God, the plan of salvation that he made for us might change. And then we'd have to do something different. But no, we have a never-changing God. He paid that price with his son on Calvary. And it's paid once and for all. Well, the message of this evening, the title has been announced, Whitewashed Tombs. I don't know what goes through your mind as you think of a title like that. My mind immediately went to the words there in Matthew 23, and that is the passage we're going to turn to as we look at this title. But a tomb is not something that we talk about a lot today. We don't think much about a tomb. We use different words for it, at least in Ohio and in New York where I came from. I don't know how they do in PA, but I don't think you use it that much. But as we get a glimpse, maybe just a little glimpse, to refresh in our mind what a tomb is. As Joseph took Jesus' body down from the cross, Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb. And this is what a tomb is, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. They put Jesus' body within that tomb. It was hewn out of rock. Now let's go to our passage, Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 is where I am going to pull that from. I think we're going to go back to verse 25 and just get a little context. It would be good to read this whole passage as Jesus is talking to the people, and he specifically starts pointing to the scribes and the Pharisees and starts teaching them. But we're going to break in at verse 25, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but they are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers of them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore be ye witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. We're going to cease reading there. As we ponder this message this evening, whitewashed tombs, and I take that from verse 27, whited sepulchres. We said what a tomb was. A sepulcher and tomb, I understand, is pretty much the same thing. And what is within them? What is within them? Well, we know what it is. It is bones. Dead, decaying bones. When you die tonight, I don't mean to say that you're going to die tonight, but if we died, we would start the process of decaying. Our flesh would go to nothing but dust. Our bones would go to nothing. But what are you going to find in a tomb? Bones. I understand in the Old Testament time, as they had these sepulchres that were hewn out of rock, they had these... I call them vaults. I don't know what the technical word that they had then, but they especially for the kings, they would lay your body out until most of the flesh fell off of it. And then they go in and pick these bones up, and they put it in these vault or whatever you want to call that, a box that would preserve the bones. And they'd stick it in this sepulcher, in this tomb, and it was there. And a lot of times on that box, as I understand that people have dug some of these up, they often had a name inscribed on them to say whose bones are in there. So what does tombs consist of? What's inside of them? Bones. But we're talking this evening about something about these tombs. History tells us, again, I'm going off of some study helps, but they say that they used to whitewash it. Now, what's whitewash? Just to fill us in, whitewash is something they maybe did a little more in the olden days. It was stuff you mixed up, but we call it paint today. Okay? And they would take and they would whitewash these tombs. They'd paint them the outside white. One of the reasons that they did that, the study people say, scholars say, is because you have to remember these people lived in the Old Testament, and to come in contact with dead people, dead animals, I believe even, if they touched that, they were unclean. And so they painted these sepulchers white so they would stand out. They knew to avoid them. So these people and these scribes and these Pharisees, they knew what Jesus was talking about when he talked about whitewashed tombs, whitewashed sepulchers. They knew what he was talking about because they had it all about them. Now let's just take a little bit of time and let's look at who Jesus was talking to here as he talked about these whitewashed tombs. Who were the scribes? The scribes were the writers. They were, maybe we could call them the secretaries. Men who copied the scripture. They didn't have a printing press. The scribes wrote it. If you copied scripture in the Old Testament time, if you copied scripture enough, you would soon know what to expect. You knew what was in there as you wrote it out. It's a good learning practice. To be able to write something out, you'll remember it better. I believe these scribes knew the law. They knew what they were writing. They knew what was there. Because they copied the scripture, they knew it, what was in there. And who was the Pharisees? Jesus was talking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a party among the Jews that laid great stress upon the observance of the rites and ceremonies. They made a pretense of superior piety and separated themselves from the common people. They were believers in the immortality of the soul, the resurrection of the body, and the existence of angels and spirits. They weren't that far off. That was the Pharisees. And it talks of in these words here, Jesus says, and the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? A hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles that he or she does not actually possess. It looks like they have it, but they actually don't have it. That's a hypocrite. So as we come to what I would like to call the first point of my message this evening, in this whitewashed tomb, I've tried to paint a picture of what Jesus is saying to these people here, these scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. For you're like unto these whited sepulchres. You paint today because you want something to look nice. I believe the same was true for these scribes and Pharisees, as people in those times painted these sepulchres. They wanted it to look nice. And these scribes and Pharisees live life on the outside to look nice. But that's all the deeper it went. It says here in this verse, They indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And Jesus pronounces a woe on them. A curse on them, can you say? Because they are not sincere. We can go back to that verse 25 of our passage here. And as we look at the cup, and as Jesus looks at these scribes and Pharisees and calls them hypocrites, he says, you know, you wash the outside of the cup, but within that cup, you still didn't wash it. It's still dirty. Where do you drink from in a cup? From what's within the cup. He pronounces a doom on these scribes and Pharisees. We can have today, we can have the outside look like we have had the cleansing. But what's on the inside of us? I've titled this first point here. I'm sorry, I don't think I shared it. I just titled it what our title is, Whitewashed Tombs. And trying to explain to you what they are and where we're going to go with this message. We want to look a little more in this message about how these scribes and Pharisees have cleaned up the outside and make it look so good. But they forgot to look at the inside. As I pondered and studied for this message, I'm not sure where to bring it in. I decided to bring it in at this point, and as I kind of did a springboard for my other 2 points I have. My concern was, as I prepared for this message, I don't want anyone to leave this place with the idea that the preacher said it only matters what's in the heart and what's within the inside, and the outside don't matter. I don't want anyone to leave with that mentality. Today we see people sometimes that fall into that thinking that the outside doesn't matter. But I'm here to say the outside does matter. The rules and regulations we put in place, they do matter. Turn with me here back to the start of this passage. I'm going to read a few verses here. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the utmost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. We're going to cease reading there. We could keep reading. It's a good reading as we read this chapter 23. But there's a point I wanted to bring out here. Verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. These scribes and Pharisees, on what they had on the outside was not wrong. The traditions they had was not wrong. The rules they had was not wrong. But what was wrong is that they expected it of the other people, but within themselves they didn't apply it. It was only an outside surface to them. They say and they don't do it. So today for us, rules and regulations that we have, They put us in a bad place. They put us in the wrong place. Only when two things aren't right. One of those is we need to take our rules and regulations, and I appreciate our decrees for to keep, because a lot of them have scripture text that you can go to. It puts us in a bad place when we cannot take scripture and apply it to everyday life and to the rule that you make. Does it mean it's wrong? If the scripture doesn't say it in black and white, then it don't apply to us. We can throw it out. No. That's not what we read. They had some things that were beyond what was asked of them. And it doesn't hurt us today to do some things that are beyond what we find in Scripture. But when the Scripture says something that we need to do, and that one of those things that the Scripture says is that we need to look at the heart, and it needs to go deeper than the outside, is what we're reading in this passage. When we don't let it go deeper than that, when we don't let our rules and regulations go deeper than the outward form, that's when it's wrong. When the heart is not right and it's only an outward form, we put ourselves in a bad state to be in. I have two other points for the message. That was kind of an introduction, kind of a first point. The first point, I'm going to call it the first point now, I have is bones that can be hidden in our tombs. I'd like to take some time and think about that. Is there some bones that we can hide in our tombs today? In our whited sepulchers? You all came dressed up for church this evening. You probably don't wear those same clothes for work. I don't. But I believe it's right that we get dressed up. I believe it's right that we put on this outward form, that we're reverence to God. We dress up, we clean up to go to God's house to worship Him. But is there things today that we can hide in our tombs, in our lives, in our hearts, that can be a detriment to us? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to spend most of our next points in this passage. We're going to leave our text passage. Second Timothy chapter 3. I did mention that I as I was sitting in Sunday school this morning, our brother read these first five verses, and I wondered, I said to myself, am I going to have to change some of my points, my thoughts this evening? Because this is the same passage I was going to go to for most of my points here this evening. But I believe there's a lot more in there. He just read it and scratched the surface of it. We're going to take the time to read the first five verses at this time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do you see the sepulcher that is painted white in verse 5? Having a form of godliness, it looks good on the outside. You have it all painted up. You have the outside form, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What can be hidden in our tombs? We have a lot in these verses. We have these last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And maybe just a little thought I have. He could have been saying here the last days of the apostles. He could have been saying the last days of the church, which brings us, I believe, today. I don't know what he was, as Paul was writing to Timothy, I don't know what all he was meaning in those words. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, but I know this much. We are living in perilous times today. Let's look at these. Lovers of their own selves. Verse 2. Lovers of their own selves. We love ourselves more than our brethren. We love ourselves. Bones that we can have hidden within us. In our tombs. It looks good on the outside, but we don't have that charity for our brother. Charity, that deep love that is a choice, not a feeling. We choose to love them even when they do us wrong. The bone that we can have hidden in our tombs is our self-love. We love self more than our brother. Second one, bone that we can have hidden in our tombs is covetousness. Covetousness. I want all I can for myself. And I see my brother have it and I want it so bad that it destroys my relationship with him. The love's not there anymore. I just covet it. I want it the most, and I'm going to do all I can to get it. God help us that we would deny covetousness in our lives. These are bones that can be hidden in our tomb, and we can hide them, and nobody needs to know what's in there. Boasters, proud. This don't affect us today, does it? We don't ever try to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, do we? The pride that we can have in our hearts of people wanting people to look up to us and realize that we're just kind of a nice person to be around. We want to make sure people think the best about us. We don't want to destroy our reputation. We just want to protect ourselves pretty much. And we might just say just a little drop of hint here and there that we did a golden deed. We went an extra mile with somebody. God help us to not have those bones hidden in our tombs. Blasphemers. People that don't have any respect for the sacred things of God. They make fun of it. They don't care about it. They tread all over it, the sacred things of God. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's the authority God has placed in their lives. Maybe it's His Word. Maybe it's the truth in His Word. Maybe it's even the name of Jesus, we take it in vain. No respect for the sacred things of God. And we can maybe hide that in our lives, in our tombs. What's the next one? Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. You don't have to go far today to find children adults, or should be adults, that act like children, that are disobedient to parents. They don't want any authority in their lives. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm doing my own thing, and don't stand in the way. That type of mentality starts with disobedience to parents. When parents don't take their role and realize that their children are setting a course for life and they don't break that, it's bones that are going to be in their lives, in their tombs, that are going to go with them for life. And you're going to see a disrespect for authority in their lives. They don't want any authority in their lives. Challenge you all. I've already wondered as I pondered this, and Are we that much closer to the last days? Maybe I'm getting old myself. I sometimes see these children and how they have no respect for authority. And I challenge you as parents, you must step up. You must help these children have the right respect for authority. In the last days, these perilous times, there's going to be one of the things that are going to go. And we can hide it in our lives. We want to do our own thing. We don't want anybody to have any authority in our lives. Well, let's go on. What is some more bones that can be hidden in our tombs? Unthankfulness. We're unthankful. It just was never good enough. We could always have it better. And we always wish for something better, and we just forget to be thankful for what we have. Unthankfulness. It can come too close to us sometimes, I believe, in my own life. We forget to thank God. We forget to thank others about us. And we go through life, and somehow it's just, you kind of go with the mentality that they owe it to you. You forget to give thanks because you didn't need it. You didn't deserve it. Let's go on. Unholy. Unholy. And I'd like to tie right into this in the first part of verse 3, without natural affection. Unholy, without natural affection. And I'm going to turn to Romans 1 and read some verses there. And as I think of this bones that can be hidden in our tomb today, I trust it's not named among us, but as Paul was writing here to the Romans, For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Not who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I wanted to read that last verse for sure. As I've pondered the unholy world that we live in and the unnatural affection that we know is out there, I challenge us. How is your moral life? How is my moral life? Because in verse 32 it says, not only do the same, you don't even have to do them, but you have pleasure in them that do them. I challenge us. Where are we at in our moral life? It's a sin when you have bones that can be hidden in your tomb. You can have these affections and you have pleasure in them that do them. And nobody needs to know. We can go through life and keep it to ourselves, but ultimately it's going to come out. These bones that are hidden in our tombs are going to come out. Let's not get to that part of the message yet. All right, let's go back to our list here. Incontinent. No power to restrain oneself. You just can't control yourself. You just go and go and go, and you just can't tell yourself no. Fierce, you're savage. You live a life of savagery. You don't care who you tear down. Despisers of those that are good. You ridicule those that are living life as they should be, and you belittle them. In your minds, you might not say it out loud, but in your minds, bones that can be hidden in our tombs. Oh, that's just so and so. That's just the way they operate. Maybe you don't do that here. I've had it in my life already, you know, and it's something we need to work against. Everyone is important to God. And if someone is living a life as they ought to, it might be a little different than what we do. But if that's what they need to be faithful to God, may the Lord bless them as they do that. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. They're treacherous. People that are treacherous. We do treacherous things. We betray others. Heady. They're rash in decisions. Make rash decisions. High-minded. Just think that our decisions, our principles, we line it up with our brother. And oh, we're up here and they're down here. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. These are bones that can be hidden in our tombs today, brothers and sisters. And I think we do good to evaluate our lives. Do I have any of these in my life? I trust we don't. But in a whitewashed sepulcher, it looks good on the outside. We can come to church and we can look so good on the outside. But what are we like inside? We have this form of godliness. The outward form looks good. But we don't have the power to overcome these bones that can drag us down. The second point, part of the message. I've titled it, How to Get Rid of the Bones. How do we get rid of these bones that are in our sepulchres? These ones that are dragging us down. These ones that take away the power. We don't have the power to live above them. We don't have the power to live over the sin. And how do we get rid of these bones that keep dragging us down? How do we be sure that they're gone? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As I think of how to get rid of the bones, I take you to verse 10 and 11. And the first thought I have, Paul is calling Timothy here to look at the doctrine that he has been taught by Paul. Look at it. You can tell that Paul was sincere in his life. His life was a living proof that he was living for God. He didn't care what the persecutions, he didn't care what afflictions that came to him. He was living for God and he wasn't going to take the easy way. He had a strong doctrine. He had this what is doctrine? It is a foundational set of beliefs. It is something that is strong, it is sure. Paul calls Timothy to look at his doctrine. Look at the doctrine that Paul has taught. It is strong, it is sure. But it didn't stop there. We could go to those persecutions and afflictions, and I did that already. But last of verse 11, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul looked at his life and everything that he has struggled with, everything that was a trial to him in life, and he realized who delivered him. What did verse say? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Paul knew where the power came from. The Lord delivered me. It wasn't his own power that he did it, but he relied on the Lord. He had faith in the doctrine that as he lived it out in his life, and the Lord was with him, and he had those foundational anchor points to go off of, and he could go fight those battles. And he come back victorious because God was with him. How to get rid of the bones? Have a strong doctrine. Have a strong doctrine that is based on God's word, and it is an anchor point, and it's a solid foundation that you can work off of. And you can be strong against the devil and all the wiles he wants to bring at you. And all these bones that can be in your life hidden. And you're open. When you start reading scripture, I believe a Christian, a true child of God, as he is living for God, his life is going to be an open book. An open sepulcher, an open tomb. That there's going to be no place for these hidden bones in their lives. How can we be sure we're going to get rid of, how can we be sure they're gone, and how can we get rid of the bones? It's kind of a twofold point there as I have put these together. And I'd like to take you to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can know that the bones are gone from your life. You can know that you're living right for God when you have a Christian struggle in your life. Brothers and sisters, we live on a battlefield. The Christian life is a battleground. And it's going to take struggle on your part. You're going to have to work for your Christian life. What for struggle are you facing? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I believe today in America that we live in, the persecution that we struggle with, or I struggle with the most, is the ones that happen in my mind. The ones that happen in the tomb where others don't see it as easily. Maybe you don't find it that way. The question I'd like to leave with you in this thought of these, how to get rid of these bones. Are you just floating along in your Christian life? Are you just going with the flow? Letting the current take you? Or is there a struggle? Brothers and sisters, if you're in a struggle, if you're fighting for the truth of God's word and for the anchor that you've driven down in your doctrine, if you're struggling to hold that and you are victorious and you're keeping your ground, you can get rid of the bones. It's going to take work. It's going to take a struggle, but you can get rid of them. Why? Let's go back to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let's take that verse and let's say, we can be victorious because in our struggle, in our struggles that we face in our Christian life, we can be victorious because we have a power that is not of our own. We have a power of God in our working in our lives. And he has cleaned us up, and he is helping us. The Holy Spirit's helping us and leading you and guiding you. When you want to go do something wrong, Don't do that. You have that conscience that pulls you back. Let's listen to it and the struggle we are facing. Well, how to get rid of the bones? Let's go to the next one I have. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We must realize the evil that is about us. Satan plants so many things in our lives, in what we come in contact with. He wants to trip us up. He wants us to fall here and fall there. He wants us to love ourselves more than we love the brethren. You put the stakes there, all those bones that can be hidden in our tomb. He'd like to see us trip up on any one of those. He places that evil in our lives for us to trip up. How to get rid of the bones? I believe one of the ways that we can stay true to God and to live above sin is to realize that the world about us is evil and they're bent for evil. And we're in our battle that we're fighting, we must go beyond it, and we dare not give in. And it's only going to get worse and worse. Our world about us feels like we keep getting better as humans. We keep getting better. We get more knowledge. No, that's not what my Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In the Christian struggle, it's going to be harder. Be faithful. Realize that we have an enemy that has much evil about us. And we must be concerned about the bones that are within us. And realize that if we want to see them gone in our lives, we must be concerned about the evil about us and guard our lives from it. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I'd like to pull in, how can we get rid of the bones in our lives? Those things that are tripping us up. Read God's Word. Stay true to it. Read it. Take it to your life. Learn from it. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did I read that verse? As I think of Jesus when he was tempted, he quoted Scripture. Do you know where to go for the truth? Do you know where to go to stay faithful, to gain power, to gain things that brings you assurance to your Christian life? It has that word here in verse 14, it has been assured of. We don't need to bob along in can I say unassurance? I don't know if that's the right word, or lack of faith in our life. We can have assurance of faith. We have the remedy. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Maybe I should have had this in how to get rid of these bones that drag us down in our life. Remember what you've been saved from. Remember who saved you. Jesus Christ. He paid that price for you and I. Keep your faith strong. He's there for you. There's many promises that we can claim. Claim them. Keep faith strong in your life. Faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. Again, bringing us back to all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I'm sorry I had this tied in with verse 14 there, but I pulled them separate here. But again, going back to Scripture, to the truth of God's Word, and how we need to stay close to it. But I'd also like to go beyond and say this. This here verse has what this Word does for us. It makes us strong in doctrine. Those stakes that I said to you, dig in. Those foundational set of beliefs. Profitable for doctrine, for those stakes to go down, for reproof. As you read it and it reproves you. For correction, and you need to change your life. I was wrong. And it pulls us back to where we need to be. And instruction in righteousness. It'll take you from here and help you to leave a righteous life. I have a closing thought as I think about this whited sepulchres. How are you today? How am I today? Is what people see on the outside of our lives what is really deep in our heart? Is there things in our lives that we have hidden in our sepulchre? They're hidden from men's view. They can't see those things, those bones that are in there. That sin that's in there. Let's call it what it is. The sin that's in there. They can't see that because the sepulcher has that door rolled away in front of it. And we forget somehow that God sees everything. Do you have your life open to the brotherhood? Do you have your sepulcher, your life open to God? Are you living life free from the sin that's about us? How are you doing in your life? How am I doing in my life? There's so much that we can hide. But we know that eventually, if not in this life, at the end of time, God is going to bring those works into judgment that we do here on this earth. Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What would Jesus say about you and I? And the life we are living. If he stood here and was preaching a message and says, woe to you for what's in your life and the whited sepulchres that you are because you look good on the outside, but inside you are nothing for me. It's possible for those that have their hearts full of sin to have their lives free from blame and to appear good. But what will avail us to have the good work of our fellow servants and the praise of them if our master at the end of life does not say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? It's that serious. What we have in our lives, what we have in our sepulchres, our lives that we have, if we just appear right on the outside, but we don't go any deeper than that in our spiritual life, we can't expect to hear those words, well done, at the end of life. May God be faithful. May He help us to live out lives that start with a heart experience with Him. The inside of our sepulchres washed clean. There's nothing hidden in there. So that when the outside appears as a white sepulchre, it looks that way because of what's inside. It's no longer dead bones in there, but there's life within. May God help us to be that.